Okay, let's move on to communications items, please, starting with number 170.
Request of Mary Pavito to address council regarding air toxics policy in Portland.
Morning, Mary. You have some other folks here. Do you want to come up together? Or?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so could, if you could call Spencer and Mary Postlewhite as well.
171, request of Spencer Ehrman to address council regarding diesel pollution. And 172, request of Mary Postlewhite to address council regarding diesel pollution.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much, Mayor Hales and the other members of the commission. My name is Mary Pivito, and I am the president and founder of Neighbors for Clean Air. When I first discovered the problems of air quality in my neighborhoods, my children were 12, 9, and 3 years old. Evidence today of the time that I've put into this is my now 16-year-old daughter and 9-year-old daughter. My oldest will now graduate from Lincoln High School this spring. And as their mother, I have spent the last 6 years trying to ensure that the air that they breathe and the air that all children breathe is safe. So to make the most of my time here today, I want to be very clear, and I've provided some handouts for you with some of the citations and extra information, including a statement of support from the Forest Park Conservancy and understanding of the impacts of air pollution on the forest. But I want to be very clear. We're asking the city for two things. Oh, sorry. I provided them, but they have not been passed out. Thank you. The first is that the City Council today take immediate action to reduce the most dangerous air toxics by supporting the legislation this session that would phase out the operation of old diesel engines in Oregon. The second is join us in crafting a clean air future that's safe and equitable for all Portland citizens by establishing a clean air task force to address the air quality challenges Portland will face as a result of growth and climate adaptations. While action this year is critical to stem the dumping of older equipment from California in the wake of adoption of strict diesel rules in that state this year, the city also needs to recognize that the negative effects of air toxics unique to city environments will be exacerbated by urban effects of climate change, like heat islands and deteriorating neighborhood air quality for years to come. And so I'm asking the city today to make a commitment to meaningful action to reduce toxic air pollution by establishing an air toxics task force. This task force should be populated by the tremendous resources we have right here in Portland, like research teams at Portland State University, who can explore evidence-based solutions and actions that the city can take, as well as influence state and regional policies and ensure the livability of all Portland neighborhoods against the known and real hazards that currently exist and will be worsened by climate impacts. When I started this work as a private citizen, the biggest challenges about addressing any air pollution problem, whether it's an industrial point source or the air pollution caused by the tangled web of transportation infrastructure and freight movement, was that unlike water, our current air pollution problems are nearly 100% legal. This despite the fact that Multnomah County Health deems diesel alone to be the number one environmental contributor to the three leading causes of death in the county. Diesel particulate emissions account for 460 deaths a year in Oregon, and those deaths and other non-fatal health costs, such as hospitalization and lost workdays, cost the state $3.5 billion annually. I recognize the city's limitations in the regulations of air emissions, and in fact, I share them. But as a citizen who's pursued evidence-based advocacy, I have been heartened by the progress we can make against something that is often considered too complex to solve. Since we began, we have helped individual companies find opportunities for meaningful reductions in emissions, and we've pushed our state to do a better job at enforcing its own rules. I implore the city to join our ranks, first by supporting the statewide rules on diesel, and second by establishing the Air Toxics Task Force. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Hales and commissioners. I'm Spencer Ehrman, and I'm here today on behalf of the City Club of Portland. I had the opportunity with colleagues from our research committee on air toxic regulation to appear before you some 18 months ago, where we presented the report and our findings, our conclusions and recommendations. Since then, City Club has been very active in the community in advocating for the implementation of those recommendations. We, along with Neighbors for Clean Air, have helped form a coalition of county health professionals and other NGOs to further the cause of reducing air toxic in our airshed, particularly as respects diesel. City Club has a legislative agenda this year, which includes supporting two bills that are being proposed by Portland area legislators to have a significant impact on reducing air toxics. As Mary referred to a few minutes ago, it's important that we begin to change out the old diesel equipment, and these bills would help effect those changes. We would hope that that the City Council would be willing to stand behind the rest of us in furthering this legislative agenda this year. City Club continues to attend to this issue, and we will continue to do so during the coming months and hopefully years. So I just wanted to check back in with you today, let you know of some of the progress that we've been making. We're very encouraged since we published our report to see that we do have some legislation opportunities in Salem. Again, appreciating the limitations on the city for regulation, we would be wholly in support of Mary's suggestion for a task force to be based locally and begin to investigate and explore ways in which the community can begin to have a significant impact in this area.
Spencer, can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
And thank you for joining us today. The Water Bureau obviously is planning for a big project in 2016 in Washington Park. And this this issue was first raised by the Arlington Heights Neighborhood Association about clean diesel. And there have been some conversations. One of the things that I want to just touch base with you following the hearing is get a sense of where do you believe those conversations stand? What kinds of measures has the Water Bureau discussed with you to mitigate the impact of diesel? And since we've got a little lead time here and we haven't done the contracting yet, I want to make sure we don't miss any opportunities here. And, of course, the legal landscape may change if the legislature acts. So since the Water Bureau may be the biggest player, it's certainly in Washington Park in the next few years that addresses this issue. I want to make sure that you feel you're getting a fair hearing and that your ideas are being, you know, considered by the Bureau. So let's follow up later on that, and I'd be interested in knowing if we've made any progress.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish. We'd love to do that.
Good. Thank you. Mary, good morning.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm here I'm with Village Gardens. I'm a community health worker. And I'm here as a resident of North Portland and a mother. I've lived here since 2000. I moved back then. And since then, I have battled many entities for the safety of my children to and from school, for just the safety of our neighborhood. I live in particularly the former St. John's Woods apartments, which has been statistically known for, you know, rough things going on there. However, all these years that I've battled all the gang members, the schools, transportation, management, men trying to hurt my daughter, I never knew that the air that we breathe is killing us at over twice the rate that the things that I just spoke of are. That is appalling to me. Every day I turn on the TV and I see somebody got shot, but I never have heard of it. Anybody telling me about the types of toxins that are in our air that are killing us so fast. I've lived here for 15 years. My whole life I have never been had put on medication. I've been on medication for the last 2 years. There's been a study shown that air toxins and pollutants and poisons in the air hurt the cognitive part of your brain in children, and it has been shown to cause depression in studies of mice to show that they lose memory, they're depressed, they can't follow mazes, things like that as far as the mice go. However, my daughter, she goes to Roosevelt, and Roosevelt High School is in the bottom 1%, if not the worst, in our city as far as air quality goes. And I live right next to many industrial air plants, the wastewater treatment plant, and many a days I've woke up and I go outside. I love to breathe fresh air, but I can't. I can't because it stinks. I can't because I know what's in the air, and I can't feel comfortable breathing in the morning like I like to, and that's unfortunate. We can't sleep. We can't do any of that for just the industry that's in our area. I went to a meeting, and I found out these statistics, and I was asked to come and sit here and talk to you all, so here I am, and I'm asking that you also support the legislative action, statewide laws. We need that, absolutely. So.
Thank you. I appreciate all three of you being here. Could you elaborate just a moment on the recent development here in terms of California changed their standards, and that is actually causing people to relocate? Is it just trucks, or is it also the construction equipment, railroad equipment? Is it all the above?
All the above.
They're moving that to Oregon or elsewhere because it's no longer legal to use it in California. Do I understand that right?
Yeah, so California has been in the process of implementing phased-in rules that would restrict and eliminate the use of the older pre-2007 diesel engines that are the biggest sources of particulate exhaust pollution. And so as these, in 2015, the final rules come into full implementation. So we've anecdotally been hearing about the movement of equipment. It's easier to track the trucks, although multi-state use of trucks makes licensing kind of a little bit murky. But we just, there is no licensing for construction equipment, so it's more difficult to track that. But as I shared with you, the article by Rob Davis in the Oregonian, he actually, as opposed to just going into Department of Transportation data, he actually started talking to auctioneers and folks who are actually in the business of brokering equipment and finding significant evidence of movement. And we understand that railroads as well, that they'll move equipment up here that they no longer can use down in the rail yards and near the ports.
Thank you. Commissioner?
Well, thanks to your advocacy, the clean diesel support for clean diesel legislation is on the city's legislative agenda. I was down in Salem lobbying on both Saturday and Monday, and I'll be back again on Thursday. And I can tell you that our government relations staff, who are your government relations staff, your official lobbyists, are hard at work on this, and it seems like there's a good buzz in the building to actually pass something decent this time. So thank you for your advocacy. Okay. Of course, having folks go down to Salem and tell the stories, that was really compelling. Thank you for being here. Mm-hmm. That's really helpful. Mayor, I was wondering about the task force suggestion. Is that mm-hmm. something that the Bureau of Planning is sustainable?
I like the idea. I think we should take it up and consider it. I think having maybe city and county together, given the county's public health responsibilities, it might be smarter to do it that way than just us alone. Obviously, as you know very well, there's some things that only the state is allowed to regulate, but that doesn't mean we can't have an adult conversation between local government and the state. So I like the idea. I think it sounds like there's an interest in that here, so I think we should pursue that. But again, let me talk to the county chair about it as potentially a joint effort, given their public health responsibilities. You know, we're doing also, I think it's really important for us as a government, and I think the county is doing similar work to walk our own talk, you know, clean up our own fleet. And we've done a lot of that. We're making progress in terms of using clean diesel and biodiesel, and now we have about 11% of our fleet that's electric. We actually just last week got a very innovative proposal from the Bureau of Environmental Services to take methane that's produced by the sewage treatment plant and compress it and use it for vehicles. Pretty cool idea in which they're asking the city to invest in this in order to be able to save a lot of money and improve air quality. So we're trying to walk our own talk by having the city be a good example. I think that helps a lot if we're going to go to the private sector and say you should do this if we've already got our own house in order. So a number of us, transportation and other bureaus, are working hard on trying to change out our own fleets and get to the level of responsibility that you're asking for from others. So I think, again, there's local work to do, and having a local commission might help advise those efforts as well as put pressure on the state. So appreciate very much your advocacy and the suggestion. It sounds like there's an interest here, and you'll be hearing from us about it.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.